It's time for Football Friday with Bill Savage. Presented by Boyd's Royal Night on Government Boulevard in Mobile. Featuring $8 weekday lunch specials, analysis, and insights. The winners, the losers. Get ready for the weekend with Football Friday on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, here we go. 8:07 FM Talk 106.5 and a Friday. And reminder, what week is this? Because I get confused because the week zero.
Yes, this would be week three, Sean.
Okay, week three. Which is actually the
fourth week of games. Yes.
Phil, you know, I still have trouble understanding that, right? You know that.
Hey, between this being week three for college and then week two for the NFL, all we know is that it's Football Friday.
That is right, and so much to talk about here. I want to get through what happened last weekend, those games, and some analysis, and looking forward. I know Dalton has a stack of questions here for you.
Yeah, I do, and the big game tomorrow that I'm most looking forward to, and it'll be right here on FM Talk 106.5, but a battle of the Tigers, like we see every year, number 7-ranked Auburn hosting number 12-ranked LSU. And Auburn right now, 10.5-point favorite, but these are two of the top defenses in the country, Phil. Auburn looking for revenge after LSU beat them last year. Remember, LSU was down 20-0 before coming back to beat Auburn 27-23. What do you see in this game tomorrow, Phil?
Yeah, this has been a series dominated by the home team. 16-2 the home teams are in the last 18 years. I expect the same thing tomorrow. LSU will bring Joe Burrow, the transfer quarterback from Ohio State. He'll be making his first start in a hostile SEC environment. I think LSU's offensive front will have problems with the LSU or the Auburn front seven. And I think on the flip side, Auburn's offensive line will probably have some problems and issues with the LSU defense. So I'm anticipating somewhat of a lower scoring game, at least to get started. But ultimately, I think Auburn wins this game. I think they cover that point spread at home. The experience of Jarrett Stidham with a year under his belt for Auburn, and then Joe Burrow coming. He's hitting under 50% of his passes thus far. We know they rolled up Miami, but they also were just very ordinary against Southeastern Louisiana last weekend.
Yeah, that was surprising how LSU played Southeastern Louisiana last weekend. But they, you know, the LSU Tigers have a good history of running backs, and then this senior running back they have now, Nick Brissett, would you put him in the same league as Fournette and Darius Geis, two of the previous LSU running backs?
You know, he's a good player, but I wouldn't go that far. But they really had a hole at the running back spot because of Darius Geis' departure early to the National Football League. And Nick Brissett has stepped up and done a good job so far. He's been solid. The team that can run the ball or at least have a modicum of a run game will definitely have a leg up on the competition, because I think both sides are going to have trouble running the football. Therefore, the game falls onto the shoulders of the quarterback. And I just like Jarrett Stidham in this situation early in the season a little more than Joe Burrow.
Let's talk
a lot more.
Yeah, a lot more. Burrow, he's not what I was expecting this year. But let's talk about a game tomorrow night, team you're very familiar with, the number 1-ranked Alabama Crimson Tide. They're playing at Ole Miss tomorrow night at 6 p.m., and Alabama, a 21.5-point favorite. And I know in the past couple Football Fridays, we've talked about how much potential this Alabama offense has this offseason or this season, and they've looked great against Louisville and Arkansas State. This could be a shootout tomorrow, Phil.
Well, I think from an Ole Miss perspective, if they have any chance to win, everybody will want to wear their track suits. I mean, they're going to want to try to get that score up into the 40s on both sides. You know, last weekend they beat Southern Illinois. Southern Illinois allowed 41 points to Southern Illinois, but they scored 76. I don't see how they could duplicate that formula against this Alabama team. The Tide clearly the more talented roster, depth-wise especially. I think Alabama continues to roll. I don't see this being a close game at all. Ole Miss having to get over the mental hurdle of last year, that 66-3 beatdown in Tuscaloosa. So I expect Alabama to roll again. I think they'll be somewhere around 50 points again. I think Ole Miss will make a few plays. I mean, they have a very good quarterback in Jordan Tamu. They have a trio of receivers are as good as any in the country, led by A.J. Brown and D.K. Metcalf. But I just don't see how Ole Miss's defense holds up against the Hawaiian Houdini Tua Tagovailoa.
And that's something strange with this game. You don't see often, or I don't know if it's ever happened in the SEC, but two Hawaiian quarterbacks starting for each side, with Tua for Alabama and Ta'amu for the Rebels.
You know, there's a real pipeline that's developed off the islands of Hawaii. You know the story of Tua. I mean, he would hang around these quarterback camps when he was in third or fourth grade. The older guys took him under their wing, and that's really why he's developed as a true quarterback. He's not a dual threat, spread option QB who only knows how to play one way. He really can do it all, and you've seen that on display these first two weekends, and I think it'll continue in a big way tomorrow night.
I just got to stop you for a second, Phil. Did you just use the term pipeline in reference to quarterbacks coming off of the Hawaiian Islands?
Yes, okay. They jump on their surfboard and they get right to the stage. Absolutely. But you know, Jordan Ta'amu, one quick note on him. Much was made of the transfer of Shea Patterson to Michigan. Everything transferred is that they were glad he went, because they really had Ta'amu, and they thought Ta'amu was going to beat him out anyway. So Shea Patterson probably saw, because I'm going to get beat out anyway. So
we're having a little trouble hearing you. If you can extend the antenna on the phone there, be good.
Oh,
we lose him.
I think we might have lost Phil.
Okay, tell you what we'll do. We will we'll go ahead and put Phil on hold. If you were in the control room there, Philip, if you will make sure we get Phil back on, get a good signal, because we're hanging on the picks for the week. Plus, I didn't even get a chance to get reaction from Phil on the Kentucky win.
Yeah, Kentucky. Because it was 31 years since Kentucky beat Florida. Over 31 years. And then they finally pulled it off last week. And
which kind of dumped my picks for last week.
It really messed me up, too. I had that for a 9-point game. But, you know, there's a game tomorrow that I really think could be that Kentucky-Florida kind of upset, with Vanderbilt playing at the 8th-ranked Notre Dame Fighting Irish. And Vanderbilt, they've had a couple decent wins this year over Middle Tennessee and Nevada. Now, those aren't barn-burning teams, but Vanderbilt, I think they could pull off the upset tomorrow against Notre Dame, and that'll be really interesting. But there's a bunch
of good
games.
Why did you say that after
tomorrow?
I made my pick?
I'm sorry. Well, you can still go back.
Can I edit that? Which, by the way, our buddy Jeff Poor
13.5
is in studio.
13.5 point favorite Notre Dame, but I think Vanderbilt can pull off the upset tomorrow.
I think you're dreaming, but
and there's also a couple other good games. Hopefully we can get Phil back on so I can ask him about it. Ohio State playing TCU, and this is their last time without Urban Meyer on the sidelines. Then you got Boise State, Oklahoma State, and USC, Texas. Should be some great games tomorrow in college football.
All right, so here's what we'll do. We'll probably just go to the break and then come back. We have Phil on. We have Phil on, and that would be, I'm going to guess what line here, line 3. There we go. Phil, you back with us?
I'm back, Sean. I don't know what happened. I'm not on the road. I'm not in some airplane. I'm not stuck off somewhere in the middle of the country, so I don't know what happened.
I don't know. You just drifted away, and then you were gone. We were asking you all kind of questions. All right, so where were we?
Well, we were talking about the Hawaiian quarterbacks.
And then Shea Patterson, just the idea that Ole Miss they didn't cry internally about Shea Patterson taking off. They really liked George Ta'amu, their quarterback.
And there was one more thing on Tua that I wanted to bring up. And when you were talking about the Hawaiian quarterbacks, Marcus Mariota, kind of the first to make a big impression coming from Hawaii, and he won the Heisman just a few years ago, and he was actually one of those mentors in Hawaii for Tua Tagovailoa. I think Tua's a Heisman favorite right now with how well he's played, and Alabama hasn't had a quarterback be the Heisman favorite in a long time.
Now, you'd have to go back a lot of years, almost a half a century, I would suspect, to, you know, Kenny Stabler and Joe Namath and names like that. For Alabama to truly have a Heisman contender. Although, you know, Jalen Hurts as a freshman was pretty good. He at least was mentioned in that realm. But this is legitimate. I mean, there are a lot of people that think that Tua is the front runner right now.
And there's one more game I wanted to get your thoughts on. This is what I have as my upset of the week. And maybe I'm crazy, but Vanderbilt playing at number 8 ranked Notre Dame tomorrow. That's at 1:30 on NBC. And Notre Dame almost a 2-touchdown favorite. But Vanderbilt, they've easily beaten 2 decent teams this year in Middle Tennessee and Nevada. And Notre Dame, of course, started with that win over Michigan. But am I crazy, Phil? Does Vanderbilt have a chance to win tomorrow?
No, my co-host over on the SEC channel on satellite radio, Chris Childers, he's all over Vanderbilt. He thinks they're going to create 4 or more turnovers and go upset the Irish. You know, last weekend they struggled with Ball State. Now, you know, it's a different proposition than an SEC team coming in the South Bend. But for Vanderbilt to win, they've got to take care of the ball. And so far, Kyle Shermer, their quarterback, has been able to do that. He's a senior this year, and he's playing solid football right now. But, again, they'll have to create turnovers. And the opportunity is there because Brandon Wimbush, the quarterback for Notre Dame, while he was clean in the opening half against Michigan for the season, he struggled some in the last 6 quarters in terms of turning the football and reverting back to the way he played a year ago.
All right. I do want to do one thing here before we wrap up and look back at last weekend and explain Kentucky's win. I was happy for Kentucky, but explain what happened there to the Gators.
You know, I think Kentucky simply outplayed Florida across the board. I mean, they were able to run the football. They threw it with some effectiveness. Florida really struggled offensively. And Kentucky beat up Florida on both lines of scrimmage. This was not a fluky win. Kentucky was the better team. They've got a quarterback there named Terry Wilson, who is a transfer from Oregon. And he had a breakout game last week, and he threw. He was 11 for 16 in the passing department, a couple touchdowns, only one interception. And then he ran the ball 10 times for 105 yards and another score. He's a legitimate, bona fide dual-threat quarterback for the Wildcats. So I don't see them going away. As a matter of fact, I think they may challenge to be the second-best team in the Eastern Division this year.
Which means that Georgia really has no competition, right?
I think Georgia's a runaway freight train on that side of the conference, based on the way they dispatched South Carolina. Mm-hmm. With a long history of not playing well in Columbia, they defied the odds and wore out the Gamecocks last Saturday. So it's clearly Georgia's division to win. And I think Alabama will face a much stiffer test on the western side of things with Auburn and LSU and perhaps even A&M as soon as next Saturday.
All right. Before we wrap up here, as GM of the AAF Alliance Phoenix, we were talking last week kind of the timeline on that. If people have not been paying attention to this football league, what's next? What's next? What's next? What are you doing right now with that?
What's next for us is we had 3 combines over 4 weekends in the month of August. 1,000 players showed up. The 8 general managers siphoned through, narrowed it down to about 160 players or so. They are eligible for a draft that we will be having tomorrow morning. And this is something that's not publicized. It's not going to be out there. But we're going to sort through and pick out the best 100 or so players that were at those combines, which was quite a journey. And then we have our logo, nickname, and uniforms being revealed in the next week to 10 days. I think the 25th of September, it will be revealed for the Alliance Arizona franchise. I've been calling ourselves the Fighting Fire Ants all summer. I don't think that'll be the name, but that's an alternative nickname for us if they need it.
All right, that's what I'll hashtag things when I'm on Twitter. And then the actual football play starts when?
Yes, training camp will open in January. All 8 teams will be in San Antonio, and then our first weekend of games will be February the 9th. That's the weekend after the Super Bowl, and it can be seen on CBS Sports. So there's a television contract already in place. It'll be cross-promoted big time during the playoffs and during the Super Bowl, which will be the first time ever that an alternate league has been publicized during the broadcast of the Super Bowl.
Well, that is going to be a great boost to the viewership, I know. And remind folks, too, if they've not gotten a copy of Fourth and Goal every day and they would like to buy it for me for Christmas, where do they go?
They can go to any local bookstore. Page and Paladin Fairhope has a number of copies, as do all of your your chain outlets like Books a Million, Barnes & Noble, and the like, or you can go online at Amazon.com. Very easy to purchase. And one last note, Sean, I just started my football philosophy podcast. We've posted two editions so far. It comes out each and every Wednesday. It's a review and a preview right in the middle of the week. And I also try to drop a little more football knowledge in there in regards to some things that maybe the fans are not as familiar with.
If we want to get and listen to the Football Philosophy podcast, where do we go? Is it iTunes or where is it stored?
Yeah, iTunes, now known as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and then you can also go to theprosclub.com. That's the podcast network that I'm a part of now, prosclub.com.
As always, Phil, we appreciate the information and the talk, and we'll check back with you next week.
All right, guys, we'll do it.
All right,
thank you, Sean. Y'all have a great weekend.
Thanks,
we'll
Phil.
Do. You too. Phil Savage checking in, and it is Football Friday, brought to you by Boyd's Royal Knight, and hopefully you've got the information you need to make the best choices over the weekend, and hopefully I did too, to pull myself out of the basement of our college pick'em.
You'll make it. You'll come back.
All right, 8:23, our buddy Jeff Poore in studio this morning. He's going to be hosting Midday Mobile today, and we'll talk about what he has on slate. Plus, he got to hear Governor Ivey speak yesterday. We'll talk about that too.
Thank you, Kane. 8:27 now on FM Talk 106.5. And this segment of Mobile Mornings brought to you by LinkedIn. The right hire can really make a huge impact on your business. And you could post to job boards and hope that you'll find the right person for your job. But think about it. How often do you check job boards? Why trust a chance when you can post your job to a place where people go every day to grow professionally and explore job opportunities? And 70% of the U.S. workforce is already there waiting for you. I'm talking about LinkedIn. And 9 out of 10 LinkedIn members are open to new opportunities, yet most are not visiting job boards. You can only reach them on LinkedIn. LinkedIn Jobs intelligently targets potential candidates based on insights from their behavior on LinkedIn and also rich profile data that you can't find on a resume, like their skills, recommendations, interests, even how open they are to new opportunities like yours. Your job gets in front of the right people. That's why a new hire is made every 10 seconds using LinkedIn. It's the best way to find the person who will help you grow your business. Right now, if you hurry to LinkedIn.com/WAVH, you'll get $50 off your first job post right now. That's LinkedIn.com/WAVH to save $50. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, you're closer than you think.
All right, 8:28 FM Talk 106.5. Heads up here, too. Last hour, we talked, just about an hour ago, talked to Lori Miles with Mobile County Sheriff's Department, and they'll have more details on their Facebook page, but they are taking the food truck, they're taking the mobile kitchen, the same one they took out to Houston last year to feed those first responders after Harvey. They're doing the same thing for Florence. They're going to be not right on the coast, but not too far from the coast there in North Carolina. And what they do is they take that the same one you've seen here around Mobile, they take that mobile kitchen and set up, and they just feed folks, and they do that until the work is done. They did it for like 12 days solid there in Houston and serve 14,000 meals or something like that. I think they're going to roll out on Sunday, they said. We will update you with information, plus their Facebook page will team share a Facebook page with if they need supplies. Now, she said, don't just go. And I understand what she got. I watched this happen after Katrina when we were trying to help. When everybody wanted to help so much, they just kind of said, here's a bunch of stuff. Don't do that yet. Wait to see what they need with their Facebook page, and then specific items will be needed, I'm sure, through this process, and we will make the donations. We'll let you know how to get it to the Sheriff's Department.
And I think it's also important to emphasize how great they are on social media, as you mentioned, Facebook, because for people who know that they are coming to their town to help feed the first responders and feed those in need, it helps in from a planning standpoint, because I could only guess that if you're in that situation, you don't even know what day it is. You may not know where your next meal is coming from. And so knowing that your neighbors in other states are coming in, and oh, by the way, it's law enforcement, so they can pull dual duty if
need
be.
That is right. And it's nice to be able to help out other communities, because one day, again, it'll be us someday down the road. Also, our buddy Jeff Poore is in studio. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me in.
Hey, it's always a pleasure to have you here, and you're going to be hosting Midday Mobile today.
That's the rumor.
Yeah. Well, that's the word on the street. Yes, that is the word on the street, Huggy Bear. Yes. The word on the street is Jeff's going to be hosting the show. You got any kind of items laid out that you're going to talk about today?
Yeah, so I'm almost done with the Bob Woodward book, and it's kind of, you know, it's
really
not as bad as it's probably made out to be because they put these things out to sell a book, but that's, I think, going to talk a little bit about that, yeah.
There you go. You'll get a little preview of the Woodward book and a whole lot more. We'll come back, also talk about your time with the governor yesterday and the latest on Florence, all straight ahead. Hey, thank you, Kane. 836 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this Friday. This is great. Not only the three of us, it's four of us because our buddy Jeff Poor is in studio this hour and we'll be hanging around to do Midday Mobile today. By the way, if you're looking for a thing to do with your evening tonight or over the weekend, something brand new from a name that you know, I've been telling you about the Manis family, my friends, with Cottage Hill Package for quite some time now, and now a brand new venture, something they were talking about a year ago, and they went ahead and got this thing opened and done, and it's fantastic. Havana Rays Cigar Shop and Lounge in Midtown, now open, a true cigar bar, and you have a big humidor like you do at Cottage Hill Package, but you got a place to sit down and smoke those cigars as well in one of their comfy leather club chairs. Enjoy a great cocktail. They have a full bar there. And on the cigar selection, I'm not the aficionado, but I have plenty of friends and relatives that are, and I know they're impressed because 2,000 different cigar labels to fit your taste. It's brand new, open now in Midtown. It's there at the Loop, and you can go by and check it out because they're open tonight till 11, tomorrow night till 11, and Sunday from noon to 6, and then the normal hours 10 to 10, Monday through Thursday. Brand new Havana Rays Cigar Shop and Lounge in Midtown. Go check them out. Tell them I sent you, and hopefully I'll see you there over the weekend. All right, we were just watching a little bit of Weather Channel footage during the break. We almost lost Cantori. A gust had come up as he is there. I think he's in Wilmington. Is he in New Bern or is he in
Wilmington?
Yeah, he's Wilmington. Okay. Yeah. And so he was talking. There was a steady breeze, and then a gust came up, and I don't think he was acting. I don't think he was, you know, falling down like you would, you know, on a basketball game going, oh, he hit me too hard.
Like a flopper.
Yes, no. He was not a flopper, but he got blown by a gust of wind. And, and then we got to talking about Cantori during the break, and Dalton, you rolled out a stat here I thought was impressive. This is how many storms for Cantori?
Yeah, I'm reading some Florence articles from the Greenville News. His 97th storm that he's worked, Florence. So he's, you know, if you do the math, three away from 100, he'll have to do something big for the 100th storm. But this is pretty big for his 97th.
Yeah, at that point, they're going to drop him in a parachute into the eye of a storm. Let him ride it out from
just
there.
Hang glide through the eye.
It's a 100th storm. You got to do something pretty big. Speaking of the storm, Florence has made landfall this morning, but as according to Dr. Bill's reports, looks like it's sliding back offshore and will make a second landfall later this weekend, a little further down into South Carolina at that point. Rainmaker, yeah, big time. Already totals double digits. And you have two things happening. You have the storm surge stacking the water up. So you have a higher water level coming from the Atlantic. You have already the inundation of rain that's happening that's not getting out in the low country there. And then here goes this rain up against the foothills and the front range of the Appalachians. And this rain's falling and now has to get back out to the coast. So flooding situation, big, big time.
I do have to say, though, it's really sad when you hear about the reports of all the 911 calls that are coming in for people who now say, okay, I need help now. I need help getting out of the situation. And they were warned and they were told. And I'm talking about people, able-bodied people. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about people who had the resources to go somewhere else. And to hear them now, I mean, those 911 calls are more than 200 of them. And why would you think that it's okay to put someone else's husband or wife into harm's way to come save you when you have the option?
Right, and there's the thing. There's that when they declare a mandatory evacuation, what that means is that they will not send first responders for you. But what happens is, because first responders are good folks and first responders, they still go out there and do rescues. Now, I would point out too that there are probably thousands and thousands of people that aren't calling 911, that are riding it out, that know the situation. You know, yesterday you and I were talking, and my analogy here, I talked about on the Midday Show too, for people not getting in a pickle for evacuations, it's thinking about squirrels running across the road.
Great analogy.
If you're driving down the road, somebody's probably doing it right now, they're in a neighborhood, there's a squirrel sitting in a yard. And the squirrel is going to do one of a couple things. Number one, some squirrels will just stay put. They know where they are. They're fine. They know they're not in the street. They're going to wait till you go by. Then they're going to run across the street.
Like a Geico squirrel.
That's right. Smart squirrel. Then there's some squirrels that say, they see you coming. They say, I want to get over there. I'm going to go ahead and just run right across. I'm going to make my decision right now. Run across. And then there's the squirrels that wait and decide the last minute, or the squirrel that gets halfway across the street and then goes, no, I'm going to double back. Those are the ones that get run over. I'm just saying. All right, so use that as an analogy. Let's go to the phones. And Chris is in Mobile. Speaking of animals, talking about those wild horses. Hey, Chris.
Hey, good morning. Kelly, I was going to see if maybe somebody could give us a report. You know, there's a lot of horse advocate people down here that ride and rodeos and stuff, but a lot of people don't realize that North Carolina, one good thing they have, that there's only a few states left in this country, is the wild Mustang. Well, they have one heck of a population of horses on the Barrier Islands, anywhere from 100 to 200 horses. And I'm really curious to see how they fare dealing with the storm surge and stuff. I know they had a thing on the Weather Channel yesterday talking about them, but I tried to do an elevation to see what the highest point of an elevation was. I could only come up with about 10 foot of elevation on, but I'm wrong, but I just don't understand how they would fare and the amazing ability of them to. But if you ain't ever been to North Carolina and you could take a boat ride out to the Barrier Islands to see the wild Mustang, and just to have that at your state, beautiful. That is amazing to me. And they've been out there for hundreds of years. It's just...
Well, I think you answered your own question, though. That's what I was going to get to, is people are so worried about the wild, or as I'll call them, I'll take the unpopular opinion, the feral horses. They're not part of the natural landscape. They've been gone since the Pleistocene. But the horses that the men brought there, the Spanish, they call them Spanish Mustangs. If they're still there after all this time, Chris, you know, there's been enough of them to figure out how to survive storms. Think about how many storms have hit that place in 100 years. I mean, so they're somewhere in the genetics.
Well, I think the storms that I've looked up, it hasn't stalled out like this one has, and just continuously pushed that water up. I'm just real curious if anybody would, if any of the listeners have heard anything, or if anybody out there knows, they reported anything, it'd just be cool.
And I looked this up while you were talking, Chris, and you're talking about like the wild Spanish Mustangs of Corolla, the wild horses of Shackleford Banks, Buford's Wild Horses. There's a website, ncwildhorses.com, which talks more about, these majestic animals. And I know earlier this week, Dalton, you talked about how they were letting the horses run free on the Barrier Islands.
Well, they do. They're feral. So, they stay out there.
There's no vet or nothing that goes out there to do nothing with these horses. They're all strictly complete wild. So I'm just curious to know how the situation is up there.
Dalton,
I know they lost. They said they lost five or six.
That's what I was about to say.
Maybe I forgot what hurricane, but
it was Isabel.
Still, that's a durable animal. But y'all have a great day, and if anybody knows anything, please call in and let us know.
Okay, Chris, I appreciate the call.
Yeah, and there's a horse fund set up right now on Facebook, the Corolla Wild Horse Fund.
Okay. What, ready for unpopular opinions? Unpopular
Please.
Opinion
Let's
time. First of all, I told you I'm going to do a show down the road. I'm going to do the show down the road to tell y'all what we, the taxpayers, are paying right now to deal with feral horses in this country. There's so many that in the West, they have to take and capture wild horses and bring them back east to where there's better pasture land, and we pay the American taxpayers to feed and pasture these horses that are wild. But I call them feral because they're not part of the natural environment. Think about how we talk about wild pigs or something like that.
Right.
People have got to eliminate them, get rid of them. They're not part of the natural environment. Kudzu, fire ants, these things, not part of the natural environment. But horses, and I said this the other day as a disclaimer, we have rescue horses on our farm, okay, that are come out of the rodeo circuit. I mean, I've got three of them that this weekend on the farm will follow me around like dogs.
And you don't stand behind them.
No, I do not. I'm not anti-horses, but it's funny how we have one set of nomenclature in how we deal with a hog or a fire ant or kudzu or something like that. But horses, and Chris is not alone. Chris is in the majority of people. It's the megafauna. It's the long eyelashes. It's the manes. It's the carriage of a horse. They're beautiful animals. And it's just funny, though, that they're the same and not supposed to be here as other critters, but they're pretty, so we have a different view of them.
And I do have a hashtag horse hurricane life hack. If they would just climb on top of each other, they'd probably be safe in the storm.
That's
get
right.
a little height.
That's
know?
Right. They are talking about the fact that they go to the maritime forest on these islands, and these islands will have a high end. Like, y'all picture Dolphin Island. You've ever heard of the goat trees on Dolphin Island? That down in that forest, that's the high end of the forest, the oldest part of the island. Same thing on these barrier islands on the Carolina coast. They will go to that forest, which is higher, and then they will get under the cover there, which may be a little dangerous for limbs coming down. But they are, except for the younger ones, tall enough animals, if they get some elevation and their height as well, they can mm-hmm. probably withstand a pretty high storm surge for the time that it's there. I mean, it's going to probably kill some. It happens, and then there'll be some that survive, and then there'll be more horses.
Well, you call them feral horses. Mm-hmm. Do they do anything to the natural environment that's like detrimental?
I'm sure they do.
Like the hogs do. Do they get people?
I don't know.
Trash?
On these barrier islands out west, big time they do.
Really?
Because they graze so much, right? There's only so much graze, especially on a dry year for critters that are supposed to be there, whether they be bighorn sheep, whether they be antelope, mule deer, these different critters. These animals are supposed to be there, and they have to compete against the horses. I don't hate horses, and I haven't even opened up the text on your email, which I'm sure is full. I don't hate horses. I just want to point out that how our attitudes are, mm-hmm. For feral animals if they're pretty, and feral animals if they're not so pretty.
But that sounds like humans, how they treat humans. I mean, let's be real.
I'm just pointing it out.
AP South U.S. region tweeted out that wildlife experts say that North Carolina's wild horses will know exactly what to do when Hurricane Florence hits.
That's why they're still there.
And CNN adds on, they depend on their instincts, which have been vetted over centuries to survive.
Yeah, humans used to have those instincts, but we...
Sure did.
But I'd eat my Whole Foods.
8:47, we're coming right back.
It's easy to do.
Mics are up. Yeah.
I know. I'm amazed. I mean, from our horse chat.
Yeah.
So I found the fund that I was talking about on Facebook, and they also have a Twitter page, Twitter handle as well, at Corella Wild Horses.
Corolla.
Corolla, thank you. Corolla. Yeah. See, I'm new to the game.
Well, you know, like, there's Cruella de Vil and the Toyota Corolla.
You're not right
so
for
it's
that.
More, it's
you're,
more
You
Corolla.
Know what? You're not right for that. Why? But according to the horse fund, they're giving updates as to how the horses are doing, that they have plenty of hay, they have generators on standby, that they're waiting out this storm, and it's a nonprofit. It's a 501c3 nonprofit, this group. They thank you for your support. They have 18 rescued Mustangs in their care, in addition to 100 horses living in the wild. So if you'd like more information, this is the Foundation for Shackleford Horses. You can go to Corolla Wild Horse Fund.
All right. There you go. By the way, too, there's I saw Fred on the text line had said, when I was 19, I adopted two wild burros from the BLM, and that's Bureau of Land Management. Mm-hmm. Those were some mean SOBs. And I've been meaning to do this. I am going to do the show, maybe on a second hour of the midday show sometime over the next month or so, talk about the Wild Horse and Burro Fund and this kind of, this is the kind of stuff that used to come out in the, the waste book, Jeff.
They go through like the cowboy poetry. And
yeah, the
all
stuff
the
we spend money
stuff,
on
right.
in the country. And this is one of these things. Almost, I feel like it's kind of a situation like the dredging of the Ship Channel, where I want the Ship Channel dredged and expanded. I just would like that sand put on Dolphin Island, because long term it saves the taxpayers money. This Horse and Burro Fund has a situation where they maintain a certain number. They have two things. They have a law passed that says they cannot eliminate them through lethal methods. No donkeys, no horses can be killed. At the same time, they have a law that says there can only be so many on any given piece of BLM land or in an area out there. There's a carrying capacity. So what happens when it gets over that number, the American taxpayers, all of us, we pay to catch them, truck them, and pasture them back in greener grasses to the east. So I just thought I'd
there's a lot worse things you could spend public tax dollars on.
True, but it's just another thing.
If we polled the American people,
you're right.
You're not going to win that one.
Quite often. The opinion that is logical and accurate is not the popular opinion.
Sean, in democracies, we get the government we deserve.
That's right. That is true. Fireball in Mobile next up. Hey, Fireball.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Doing good, man. How about you?
Hello.
Ain't nothing to it. Just like my paycheck.
Gotcha.
That's your tagline.
Animals, they can feel the pressure, barometric pressure, way before the humans. And
sure.
Those horses know how to get out of the wind and how to survive. I've had more than two before, but on a high wind or a hard rain, they turn around with their rear end towards that rain.
Yep. Oh, yeah. They see it all, you know, all year long with R3. Yeah. I mean, you're right. I am bothered, though, I guess, that the horses did not heed the mandatory evacuation. I'm really upset with them that they didn't. I mean, they had a chance to heed the mandatory evacuation.
Look at you.
No horse
Look
sense.
At you.
Let's go to Doug in Mobile. Hey, Doug.
Hey. Got a comment. No debate. The way y'all talk, you're worried more about the horses than you are the humans. And the thing is, a lot of the times, the people that stay, that is all they have.
Yeah,
so they're going to stay and try to protect it.
Hey, you didn't listen to me yesterday. Don't say we didn't.
Wait. Listen.
You listen.
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 No. You listen.
You listen.
The thing is, people love the creation more than the creator, and man was created in God's image. That's all I got to say.
There you go, because I have never said anything like that ever on the show.
What?
I mean, Doug, the reason I wanted you to listen for a second is that is what I've said forever on this show, is where I'd lose my mind with all the TV stations folk. I love animals, too, but human beings are farther up on the list to me. But you listen, because you're not going to listen to me.
And I even said earlier today, I said for the people who had the resources to leave and who were physically able to leave and made the choice to stay back. So I am all about humans. And I love animals, too. But humans trump animals.
Yep.
In the Finley household.
And that's an unpopular belief these
sorry,
days.
But you know what? If you find balance, you can love both. But I was actually just going to say, I wish more people focused on people and our neighbors as much as we do.
We need longer eyelashes. We need longer manes and tails. It's a funny thing. It's truism here. It's not popular, but the way we give higher value. Like, there are a whole bunch of other animals on those barrier islands, right? Native fauna. What about the gray foxes on those islands? Mm-hmm. You know, what about, different critters that live on these things? Don't be worried about them. We're worried about the horses. I'm not telling you not to be worried about the horses. I just want you to challenge why we give value to one critter more than the other.
The little bit of that value comes from them being defenseless animals, where humans have the ability to kind of do things.
Hop in a car
around,
and go.
You've been around
right. why can horses or dogs or, you know, all these other animals that you see in the news? Because that's what triggers people's
emotions. I think it does. And it's a good response. I think kindness.
And empathy.
That is a good response. I mean, Lord knows we have three dogs. We have spoiled animals in our house and all those things. I like to challenge. That doesn't mean that I don't treat the animals that way. It means I like to challenge my preconceived notion of how everything works and make sure I'm on the straight and narrow.
Oh, and you have enough room in your heart to love so many things, but you understand that in your time of need and in an emergency, you're going for the human. I mean, and if it's unpopular, it's okay. That's why you have your own family.
Right. Well, and what Jeff is saying is, you know, and I get it, that the humans, they can choose. They have the information. They can make the choice. They don't make the choice.
That's right.
Where the animals don't. I get that, but it's just it's one of these things where it seems to lead the day. I don't know. It seems to be, if there's a, you know, there could be humans harmed all over.
Right.
And if there's an animal that's had a, you know, mistreated, been cruel, that's top of the stack.
Yeah.
In news. It usually is.
We need to get it together and gallop into this weekend.
See.
I like that.
You know what I say?
What?
Nay. Laura Ingram next. Jeff will be back for Midday Mobile. Y'all have a great one.